Time now for your comments. John Strack of Massachusetts heard an interview with Iraqi citizen Saddam Saleh about his experience being tortured at Abu Ghraib prison. Strack writes, Mr. Saleh said he'd lost his dignity and honor. He then went on to explain that he was not seeking revenge. He did not want his tormentors executed. I would say Mr. Saleh has retained his dignity. Mr. Strack writes, he has remained civilized in the face of savagery, and in my eyes he has not lost honor, he has gained it. Our three-part series on global warming brought a blizzard of email, much of it angry. John Cipher of Brookfield, Connecticut writes, I appreciate you covering the topic, but your statement that scientists are divided about climate change is a bit misleading. It's like saying voters are divided on whether Ralph Nader should be president. Californian Brian Gigi adds, your series on global warming reflects the worst of he said, she said journalism. A totally uninformed listener might get the impression that it's just an esoteric disagreement among colorful personalities. Science, Brian writes, is not about personalities. It's about critical analysis of data, which is what was almost utterly absent from your reports. Dina Stander heard our interview with Linda Gray Kelly, a justice of the peace in Massachusetts. She decided to resign her position rather than perform marriage ceremonies for gay men and women. Stander writes, like Kelly, I am a heterosexual justice of the peace in a rural community in Massachusetts. I support Ms. Kelly's choice to resign. However, I wish that NPR had taken the time to contact other justices of the peace here in the Bay State. Many of us, she writes, are honored to celebrate these marriages, and we will preside at these ceremonies solemnly and joyfully and with great pride. Dear Morning Edition, writes Brad Lawrence, who calls himself an unofficial cigarette distributor to the city of New York. He writes, I just heard a report about the decline of smoking in New York. I have to tell you, these people who say they've quit, no, they haven't stopped smoking cigarettes, they've just stopped buying them. Instead, they all come up to me outside the bar with a pleading look and the opener, I quit, but you know... And a correction, last week in a story about the legacy of Brown versus Board of Education, we placed Professor John Hope Franklin at the wrong university. He is, in fact, Professor Emeritus of History at Duke. Finally, an email about semantics from David Denton of Stone Mountain, Georgia, who writes, in a time when new words are being added to the English language simply because of pronunciation errors or the inventiveness of some rap star, the last thing we need is to have you folks at NPR inventing words, too. Denton says he heard the word anonymize on this program and cannot find it in his dictionaries. But, Mr. Denton, if you check the New Oxford American or the online version of the OED, you will see it, A-N-O-N-Y-M-I-Z-E. Definition, to make anonymous, especially by the removal of names or identifying particulars. Not the friendliest word to wake up to on the radio. In fact, I wish it didn't exist, but it is a word nonetheless. Please don't anonymize yourself when you write to us at morning@npr.org. Tell us your name and how to pronounce your name, and also where you live.